Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The River. This is Tom Fuller coming to you from beautiful Portland, Oregon, with my friends and your hosts, authors Maxine Marcellini and Jeannie St. John Taylor. Every Monday, Maxine and Jeannie get together to share what's on their hearts with listeners around the world. They chat with other authors and friends on a wide variety of topics. Some bring a laugh, some cause us to wipe away a tear, but all of them send rivers of blessing into our lives. These shows can be life-changing if our hearts are open and allow the river of God's love to pour into our deepest needs. So, listeners, are you ready? Now's the perfect time for me to stop talking and let the ladies take us on today's exciting journey down the river.
Yes, we are having an exciting journey for you listeners today. We are going to be talking with a guest who is calling to call in all the way from England. So we are going to wait for him to call, and Jeannie and I are just going to catch up on how our day's been going until he calls into the studio. But this is one guest that you won't want to miss. His name is Peter Gladwin, and we are so excited he's going to join us today. So, Jeannie, how are you doing?
You know, I was thinking while I was waiting here, every single show I say, oh, I'm so excited. But you know what? I really am. Our guests are so amazing, and this man just blows my socks off. Doesn't he yours? I mean,
oh my goodness, yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm glad I've never had to go. Go ahead.
Well, if ever there was someone who's been through a lot, it's Peter Gladwin.
Oh, I know. And the thing that amazes me about someone like Peter is how he could ever be even sort of normal. You know, how did he pull out of everything in his past? How did he forgive all the people that he needs to forgive? How did he do that? It's just totally amazing to me. And I love his accent.
Don't you? We should hear a lot of England going on here, shouldn't we?
I hope we can understand him.
Yeah, no kidding. I agree with
and
that.
And I hope we don't have feedback 2 weeks in a row. Last week we had Spain, and this week we have England. And I hope it's just real easy.
Well, you know, it's hard for some people to understand why God allows certain things in their lives to happen. And it makes it really difficult when we feel like we've been mistreated or that God kind of dealt us a wrong deck of cards. So when we talk to Peter today, I think we're going to find out how a guy was able to come out of that type of a life and enter into one of victory and serving and really being the man that God created him to be.
He's an evangelist now, isn't he? Isn't that what it says? Or a pastor?
Yeah, he became many things. He's working with many people in ministry avenues and such like that. But there is so much going on with Peter that he's going to just bless us.
I know. Hey, dare we steal some of his thunder and just kind of mention a few of the things that happened to him, do you think?
Yes. I think
we could
do it.
Peter
Gladwin was barely one when a domestic fire left him partly disabled and horribly scarred. The third of nine children.
Can we talk about that? How that happened?
Well, I think I'm going to let him
tell
us.
You want to wait on him?
Get him online here.
Okay, good.
The problem with the phone call between here and England is, for whatever reason, we are not getting that to work effectively at the moment.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that will change real soon.
Okay. But, sorry I interrupted the bio. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, Peter was burned in a fire. His mother was just going next door to escape so much craziness with the parenting and things she was doing. But she left him as a baby in front of the fireplace and left some of the other children in charge. And none of them were all that old. But she was just going next door to sit with an adult friend and have a cup of tea when a fire broke loose.
Hmm? It's a spot of tea, honey.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm not that English yet. So, anyway, he ended up being burned in this fire, and no one really expected that he would live. But he did.
amazing.
I'm asking him to call me. Anyway, he came through that, but it was years and years of therapy and physical graftings and such like that, that just really had him with a lot of pain. He was disfigured from so many different things, and his life story is quite interesting. All right, I'm going to answer Peter's call here.
Okay.
Peter, can you hear me? Peter? Are you there, Peter?
I heard a voice.
Did you hear one?
Yeah.
Peter, are you
so.
In the background somewhere? I'm not hearing him at all.
Okay. Can I just say, while you're waiting, and you can work on trying to get him, I totally understand what his mother did. My daughter-in-law has just had her third child in less than 3 years, and I had something similar. I had three kids in 3.5 years, and it gets so difficult. And if you don't have anyone to come and help you, you just want a break. And what Peter's mother did was she just stepped next door for a moment to have a spot of tea, as he says, with her neighbor, and the house caught fire, and Peter was laying right by the fireplace, so he got the worst of it. And I remember that the fireman didn't get there until it was already in the upstairs, and he was on the hearth by the fire. So I am just, has to be God's protection that got him out of that, don't you think?
Well, I would assume it has to be, because God had a purpose for his life that would not be revealed for many, many, many more years.
Yes.
So as I'm looking at his book and his bio, we've just got a message from him that he says he will be on in 10 minutes.
Oh, well,
I don't know what that
then.
Means. I hope before 10 minutes, Peter, if you are listening in, please try to get in sooner than that. But he was always in trouble with the police. See, he ended up with a lifestyle that, in his book, you read that there was a family of 9 children here we're talking about, and they were always on the public housing system. And every home they were put in, they ended up trashing. And then they'd get moved to a different home at some point in time, and that house would start out looking lovely and end up looking horrible, just from the lifestyle that was going on. There was drinking, there was gambling, there was money being put off in wrong directions that...
And his own father taught him to. His own father taught him to steal.
Oh yes, he was taught to steal. So he was always in trouble with the police, in and out of care homes, spending his time on the streets, and then he was stabbed, and effectively lost the use of his right arm, which was his good arm.
For two years, he lost that. Yes.
Yeah, and for years he took refuge in gambling, drinking, and drugs. So his story is one of being in so many problems, thinking life was going to always be that way for him and never really improve. And then he lost his relationships with women, went sour. It was a start of a very dark time for Peter. He even contemplated suicide, but he didn't actually pull that off either. Instead, he went to his mother's apartment, and his mother called up his sister, and by now he's about 30 years old, and his mother called up his sister, who came over, and that night he actually found Christ. So his story then begins to take some very interesting changes.
And Maxine, his sister had just met the Lord like 6 or 8 weeks earlier.
Yeah, not
so
that
it
much
was like,
ahead of him.
No. God just was with him every step of the way, even though I know it didn't feel like it, you know?
Yeah.
It's like he would have felt like the word, and the time he was hit by a hit-and-run driver and left for dead. I mean, all of it sure wouldn't have felt like God was there with him.
As soon as he'd start to, you know, kind of get back on his feet in some one way or another, it seemed like another thing came and clobbered him. And then he was back, trying to mend his broken body one more time, or his spirit or something. But it seems like all of his short bouts with being up were brought back down very quickly.
Well, and you know, what a resilient spirit the man had. Just to keep trying to come back. And also, you know, I love the time he talks about going to jail for the first time and how it felt so wonderful to him. They thought they were trying to scare him. He thinks they were trying to scare him. But for the first time, nobody was attacking him, strangely, which is not how we think of that. You know, we think of, oh, all those bad people in jail. His brothers and sisters were kind of always, I mean, kids play like that, you know, but he didn't feel real safe. And he had 3 meals a day, and I don't think he didn't usually have food to eat. I mean,
yeah, so in some ways, he actually was eating better by being in prison.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah,
it was kind of crazy thought to think of, but when there's not enough to go around because the money is so thin, it is interesting what people will do. But with so many things that happened that brought him down, he actually, even the way he finally met his wife was quite profound and very exciting. And he did end up marrying, and he has 3 beautiful children. And he's a man who has helped more people who were needing to get out of the ditch they'd fallen into. He has helped many, many people. God had orchestrated a career path for him that would open a door and shut another one, open this one and shut another one, and he really could hear God's will for his life. So his message is one of strength and power and victory. And it didn't happen until he came to the end of himself, so to speak, and the end of feeling sorry for himself, and he'd met Christ, and he could actually find power that he had never tapped into before.
Don't you wonder?
Works with the Lord.
Oh, my goodness. And, you know, don't you wonder, when you read Psalm 139 that says, God formed us in the womb, and he writes every day of our life before they ever came to be. But then you know that Satan entered the world, and he has a lot of power over people, and he causes a lot of trouble. But don't you think that his story, well, you know that his story included God stepping in every step of the way, even when he didn't see God, and then eventually bringing him to this place. And God does that for all of us, Maxine, doesn't he?
Oh, he totally does. One of the things that Peter has in his book, and his book is called Out of the Ashes, The Restoration of a Burned Boy, but it was more than a burned boy that he was restored from. He was restored from many, many trials in his life, many, many hurts, much pain, great physical pain, great emotional pain. But as he goes through the book, toward the end he breaks out Psalm 107 and says it's always been close to his heart because it sounds as if it was written by someone who understands my story. I'm just going to read that. Some sat in darkness and the deepest gloom, prisoners suffering in iron chains, for they had rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. Some became fools through their rebellious ways and suffered affliction because of their iniquities. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. So over and over again, we hear of a God who is saving his people from distress. And there is no sin that God will not forgive and save you from, just so you know that, listeners. He is there to pull you out of it. He is there to help you, and he won't tire of helping you.
And haven't you had that same experience that Peter had with Psalm 107 in feeling like you're reading the Bible and it's like, I remember the first time I read Isaiah and I honestly did not understand a word in the book. And I read through it, and after several readings through, I was going through something kind of hard, and I opened the book up and I thought, oh no, I can't read this one. I don't get it. And it was like Isaiah said, "Dear Jeannie, this is for you." And I started reading, and I understood every word. And not only did I understand every word, but God just spoke to me and lifted me up and changed me through that. And I mean, don't you think that happens to everybody with the Bible?
Yeah. If you stay in the Bible, you're actually going to find that God is going to direct your path. He's going to be showing you his will. He's going to be letting you read it. He's going to then be speaking to your spirit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, did you look at Peter's YouTube video, which is really cool?
I didn't catch that one. You actually
found it. I hate that I used it. It's really wonderful.
Tell us about it.
He shows. I did good. What I like about it is I like his accent, for one thing. I like his story mostly. but also it shows you the scene. It sets the scene. You see him on the waterfront in England, and he's sitting at a picnic table, and it's the night, he talks about the night he contemplated suicide. And he looked up, and his mom's apartment was right there. And so he doesn't take us into his mom's apartment, but he tells us how he went up there, and it shows us the outside of the building, how he went up there, and she called his sister on the phone. And that's when he found out, his sister talked him out of it, and he found out that, or maybe she came over, I don't know all the details, but he found out that she had found the Lord just 6 or 8 weeks earlier. And it's wonderful because you see the place, and you see him there. And also on the video, you see, as he's reading, you see one thumb that's been cut off. But he has other injuries he didn't show there. Do you remember what those were?
He has a lot of injuries on his body because of the stabbing, because of the car accident, mm-hmm. because of the burns. He was burned with nearly over his whole body, is my understanding.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
despite that, he looks pretty good.
He looks good, and you know what he has. What he has is one of the things is because he has a clothing over the scars, but also he has lost most of both feet, and he couldn't start to walk until he was 5. They had him in what he calls a push cart, and what we would, I'm sure, call a wheelchair. So he was in that. He could not walk, and then finally they gave him some shoes that were fitted with some iron things inside that I don't quite understand. And he, with using those, he was able to walk, and it was horribly painful. And he said that he sees athletes who talk about pushing through the pain, and he knows what that means because he did when he was 5 years old. And so he learned – is he there?
No, not yet.
Okay. So he learned to walk, and he said he was so grateful for those shoes, and he didn't even care how much it hurt. I mean, he got to stand upright for the first time at 5. Can you even imagine how that would feel?
No. And his grandparents took him in for a period of time, too, when he needed so much extra help. And mm-hmm. what was interesting was after he got back home, I don't know, what I'd like to hear is why he went back to his own family with all the multiple children there. And all the trouble.
Well, I think
I'm family.
I might know a little, maybe, and that is his parents finally, I don't know if they had been separated, or we're probably getting this story all mixed up. I might be. But they came, I do know this, they came to his grandmother's house and his grandfather's house and said that they were ready to take him back. And I think they had a new house then. And
but
so
he'll know why with a boy who had so many
he'll know why
they would have let him do they would have agreed that was a good answer.
Yes, he will. Yes. And I know he would have been a lot of care, you know?
Yeah.
And parents don't want to have to send him away, but then they came back for him as soon as they could, which really speaks well for them and their love for him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And things didn't go easy then after he got home. I mean, he was definitely...
No.
Not necessarily treated like a boy who had a lot of injuries.
Yeah.
But what I liked about him as well, Jeannie, was he had a marvelous ability to want to work, and he always landed jobs.
Mm.
Always was landing a job. Physical labor jobs and all kinds of stuff. But then...
No, I didn't know about that. What kind of labor jobs do you know?
Well, he would just do work at manufacturing plants, whatever he could find.
Wow.
He would just go get a job, and he would get hired, and he'd be able to stack pallets or whatever it was they wanted him to do. He still could do those more heavier duty jobs.
Mm.
But in the end, the Lord started giving him jobs where he was really coming alongside and really becoming an advocate and a counselor for those in prison.
Mm.
He spent a great deal of his time working with prisoners and preparing them for release and with people in different situations where there was a mental issue going on within a care facility. He worked with people who had hardcore stuff in their life, and he may still be doing that today. He likes to call himself an evangelist now.
Mm-hmm.
But we really don't get the full story until Peter comes on, and I don't know.
No, he's better at this than we are.
I know it. The show will be over in a few minutes, Peter. I hope you get here.
Hope you can make it, Peter. We're waiting and waiting. Everybody is. Do you know what I would say, Maxine, is what I've read of the book, and I haven't been able to read the whole thing, it is a really well-written book that's really exciting and easy to read. It'll just you just fly through the pages, and it's amazing, and you'll marvel at the way God helped him and at his indomitable spirit that God gave him probably at birth. You just marvel at that and just love every second of it. It's a really good book. And if people go to his website too, which is, do you have that? I do. It's,
Peter at Auto, okay, Peter at the at symbol, outofashes.co.uk.
Yeah, that's it. That stuff on there? Yeah.
Yeah. And the book is selling for $12.99 in the paperback, but it's also available in Kindle, and I do not have that price, but I'm sure it's much less.
Yeah, it usually is. Yeah, it's a really good book. He's had an amazing life. You know, it's interesting when you see people like this or hear of people like this, you're always so glad that you didn't have to go through what he went through. And yet, the closeness that he has with the Lord, I'm sure, as a result of it, is amazing. I remember, I think I've said before, when my dad was blind and deaf towards
the
end of
his
life.
Hello, Peter. Are you there, Peter? That did not work.
Well,
he was trying to call in.
Well, my dad, when he was blind and deaf near the end of his life, I asked him if he would trade seeing
there
and hearing.
There you are, Peter. I see a face in front of me. I cannot hear you, though. Do you have a mute on? I don't hear you, Peter. Can you put on, see what's happening with your sound?
Oh, like the ocean's bigger than we think. Huh?
Can't hear you. I see you. I see you. Yeah, he wants to know if I can see him. I can see him, but I cannot hear him. So there's something with his sound equipment. It's not happening. So let's see. Well, we're just having a lot of trouble with this call. We may have to bring him in again on another date because this is becoming problematic today. So.
Well, let me finish about my dad, Maxine, while you still work on him. Okay. So I asked my normally we wouldn't have to finish it, but I asked my dad if he would trade being able to see and being able to hear for the closeness that he had gained with the Lord during that time, and he said absolutely not, that the Lord had been so close to him. And I remember one time I told him that I prayed for blessings for him, and I had no idea how God could bless him. And he said, "Well, Jeannie, he does. He just does."
Yeah.
He has
a way of doing it, doesn't he? Well,
he sure does.
In again. I mean, we're having a lot of difficulty, obviously, today with his call coming through to us. And I'm sorry about that because this is one guy that I really wanted our listeners to hear.
Oh, me too. Me too.
Yeah.
Oh, there he is. Is that him?
Oh, my goodness. Peter, are you online with us?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Oh,
yes, I hear you
now.
Good job.
Oh, we're so excited.
Maxine, I thought the show started at 10 o'clock, at 11 o'clock.
Well, you must be off an hour on how your time between the UK and the US is working.
Well, it's only
let's talk now.
Yeah, you were an hour off, obviously, with your timing.
Well, I was told 11
p.m.
I was told 11 p.m.
I think you're only 8 hours ahead of us, though, Peter.
Okay, anyway, Maxine, yeah. I mean, how long have we got, then?
About 6 to 10 minutes is all.
Okay, Maxine, let's go.
Let's hear about you. You tell us some of the things that are really important that our listeners should know about you. How did you – we've kind of filled them in a lot on the house fire, but tell us in a kind of a shorter version what your childhood was like.
Well, Maxine, you know, I've had a really, really difficult upbringing. As you know, I was burnt in the house fire at 1 year old. I was in hospital for about four years having reconstructive surgery. As a result of the fire, I've got partially amputated feet. I've got 65% burns to the body, and I've got a left hand that's partially amputated. So you can imagine being different, being brought up on a really rough area in the north of England was very difficult. Both my mum and dad struggled in their marriage. They had struggles. And as children, you know, we went through real poverty, Maxine, real, not just spiritual poverty, but possessional. We lacked a lot of the basic necessities of life. And, you know, it was very difficult being brought up, very difficult indeed.
So why did you turn to drugs and gambling and those things? Let's let our listeners hear that.
Well, the thing was that at 15 years of age, I got stabbed in a gang fight. I was stabbed in my right arm, and it went for my chest. And as a result of this stabbing, I lost the use of my right arm for 2 years. The thing was that because of my injuries to my left hand, I couldn't work. And so for a few years, I went through a real depressive, no-hope kind of phase in my life. And because I had all these memories, bad memories, I didn't know how to, you know, I didn't have the tools to really deal with the sort of thoughts and emotional ups and downs. And so I turned to, you know, I admit I turned to drugs and alcohol and became even worse. And I did that with every adversity that came my way, because at 24 years of age, I was hit by a car, was a victim of a hit and run. Incident where I was left for dead in the middle of the road. And then at 27, I received the news that my father had committed suicide. And, you know, so the only way for me really to deal with issues, such deep issues, was to bury them with drugs and alcohol.
Yeah, you did a big job with the drugs and alcohol, and then that spilled into your relationships with the mother of your first child as well, didn't it?
Well, that's right. Not only, you know, did I have problems with drugs and alcohol, I was also addicted to gambling. And you can imagine this relationship that I was involved in before I became a Christian. You know, it was very, very difficult. I mean, can you imagine what she had to put up with? You know, I'd be losing the money, I'd be coming home wrecked, I was just a complete mess and not able to hold the relationship down, really.
So how a complete mess turns himself into a complete active person on fire for the Lord? We need to hear that part of your story now.
Well, I was actually contemplating suicide because I could, as I said, I didn't have the tools to deal with all the pain of the past. But I had a message one day that completely has changed my life, totally turned my life around. And it was via a telephone call. My sister, Annette, unbeknown to me, had become a committed Christian 8 weeks previous. And she shared with me on that telephone in my mom's front room that God loved me, and that Jesus died for me and rose again, and that God wanted to give me a brand new life. And so I responded to this message, and I answered the call, and I cried out to Jesus to come into my life on that telephone. Since that time, God has turned my life around, upside down, inside out. I've been on an amazing journey. And it's just God, really, God's grace and God's love and God's acceptance and security and just unfolding my life. And, you know, today I'm married. I've got three beautiful children. I'm married to a Swiss girl. I live in the south of England. I'm a full-time evangelist. I work in prisons and churches around the country. I've just come back from Canada. I had an amazing time in Canada sharing the good news of the gospel. you know, God is really on, you know, really opening doors for us. That's quite amazing. My book's just been published, Out of the Ashes, which is the story of how God has brought me out of the fires of my life. And if there's any listeners out there who are going through their own stuff, then just be aware that God loves you, you know, and it's not the end. Don't stop dreaming, because God is a prayer away. And God, there's no setback in life that God does not have a comeback plan for. So whatever you're going through, whatever you've been through, wherever you are right now, there's a comeback plan just waiting. God is waiting for you to come to him and to surrender your life to him through Jesus Christ. Let him be the author and perfecter of your life from this day forward. You'll never, ever look back.
That is powerful. Peter, you may not know it, but my co-host Jeannie is on the line with us, too. I'm going to let her ask you a question, because she looked at your video trailer that you have online on YouTube, and she was very impressed with that. And we both find you to be a remarkable miracle of God's grace.
Hi, Peter. I don't really want to take up any time, except would you tell them how to find your book again? We want to make sure they get it, because I'm really loving what I see in it. I know the listeners are going to love it.
Well, praise the Lord, and thank you very much. I mean, your support is wonderful. People can get this book on any American good bookshop, online, Amazon. They can get it through our website that supports our website. That supports our ministry. That's www.outofashes.co.uk. That's www.outofashes.co.uk. You know, we have a ministry that goes and preaches the good news of the gospel, Jesus Christ, that Jesus lives. And believe you me, we are seeing captives getting set free. For prisoners crying out to the Lord. And this is not just male prisoners. We're seeing women prisoners give their lives to Jesus. God is moving powerfully in these prisons. You know, a lot of these people, you know, have come from devastating backgrounds. But it's just like I said before, there's a comeback plan. God has got a comeback plan. And people just need to, you know, people just need to respond to Jesus. He's a prayer away. If people want to...
I am loving the excitement in your voice for what you're doing, and I can tell if you were to come to the U.S. and get near me, I would attend your conference, quite truthfully. Because
yeah, me too.
You are encourager and an ambassador for Christ with the hope that people need.
Well, I'll tell you, I've been to Canada, had an amazing time in Canada. You know, I was being drawn out there's a boat called The Maid of the Mist, and basically you go out onto the Niagara Falls, and it draws you to the very mouth of Niagara Falls. It's such an awesome, powerful experience. But, you know, God is more powerful, and he's drawing people to him. But people have got to respond. God is a gentleman. He won't force people to come to him. I just know I've experienced it in my own life, and I'm getting hundreds and hundreds and, you know, thousands even of emails coming through and telling us about, you know, people, how broken people are, you know, and yes, they are broken, but they don't have to stay that way. You know, God can use their past to unlock someone's tomorrow, and that's what God has done with my past. You know, I'm not saying that everybody's going to take the same route as me, but honestly, God has got a plan for people's lives.
Yeah, I believe that he unlocks our past and gives us a bright future if we will allow him to come in that door. And I like how you say that. He is a gentleman. He will never force us to come to him. Peter, we are running out of time today, and I'm so glad that you came on the air with us, because you've got a message to leave behind here. So thank you so much for being our guest today. Listeners, we are talking today with Peter Gladwin, G-L-A-D-W-I-N, and his book, Out of the Ashes. Please pick up a copy of it, because you will not regret that you have read Peter's book. Thank you for joining us, Peter.
God bless you, girls. And, you know, when I come over there, I'd love to drop in and meet you personally.
Well, I would love that too, and I will... catch you on a Skype message here real soon and hope to connect further. So thank
God
you, Peter,
you
for the blessing that you brought to our show today.
God bless you both.
This is Tom Fuller saying thank you for joining us on The River today. I pray blessings have come your way. Please check out our hosts' websites to learn a little more about them. Maxine Marcellini is the author of Rebuilding Families $1 at a Time, Blended Families, and Raising Children in Blended Families. She's a life coach whose website, rebuildingfamilies.net, is full of family helps and resources. Jeannie St. John Taylor is the author and illustrator of more than 25 books for adults as well as children. You'll find her books, plus a link to read her newest biblical fiction, City of a Thousand Gods, on her website at jeanniestjohntaylor.com. All our programs are archived for later listening enjoyment. Consider posting a comment after today's show. And please let your friends know about what's happening at The River. Most of all, remember, you are never alone in this river called life. Jesus is with you and only a prayer away.